Welcome to another episode of the Courage to Be the Difference podcast. I'm Sherry Ruskus, founder of the Victory Circles, and your host for this podcast each and every week, almost. We don't get it out every week, but we sure give it a good try. Today, we're calling our show Essential Ingredients, and my guest for this show is none other than... Are you ready? Can I hear a drum roll? Yeah! Bailey Ruskus, better known as Chef Bay. And if that last name sounds familiar to mine, it's because it's my daughter. And Bailey, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mom. It's good to be here.
Good to have you here. We have no idea what's about to unfold here in the next little while, but we're excited about it.
You never know
what's
about to unfold with me, Mom.
I know. You know, so it's funny. I've thinking about this, going into this, I know so much about you, right? I've known you for your entire life. Yeah, from the very first second of your life. Mm-hmm. And then even before that. But, so I have so many questions that I want to share with our listeners when it comes to your life in the culinary world. Mm-hmm. So I thought where we'd start is, like, where did you start to feel, and if you could share with our listeners, when you started to realize that you had this passion about food?
I would call it more of an obsession. Like, it definitely started, it started and stays an obsession. Like, when I was little, I was just obsessed with it. Like, obsessed with cooking and baking and watching food shows and, like, how into watching food other people are. Like, I remember watching Emeril and just, like, watching the crowd when he's like, bam, and be like, wow, they're all so into it, and just kind of, like, you know, really liking that. And just, it was just super therapeutic for me, you know? Like, I just remember when I had a bad day at school, I'd bake, like, a bunch of cookies, and everyone would know, like, don't talk to Bailey, she's baking right now, like, something must have happened, you know? But I've always been into it. You know, my first job was in a pastry kitchen, and it's just the one thing in life that consistently always made sense. And if something didn't make sense about food, I would figure out why it didn't make sense, and I could fix it really easily. So it's always just been, like, a very much a constant for me.
And, you know, this month we're talking about the Mastermind Principle of Imagination. And do you feel like that is your greatest creative source? Like, do you feel like you get lost inside of the creative process of putting ingredients together?
It's definitely my creative flow. Like, as a true creative, like, I don't find myself to be that creative. But, you know, I get so frustrated with being creative and food and, you know, trying new things and stuff. It's, you know, like being an artist and trying to paint something on paper and it didn't look exactly how you wanted it to look or whatever, and the food's kind of the same thing. But yeah, it's definitely my creative outlet. I think that with food too, there's so many different ways to be creative now, like in the age that we live in, between like photographing it and blogging about it and talking about it and then seeing like where the food came from and how it was grown, and like there's so many aspects to just like having the food on the plate, you know, rather than just like, oh, I'm just gonna cook some stuff and put it on a plate and, you know, there it is. There's like so many other things now that you can do. There's so many other outlets you can post it on, you can teach about it. There's like an endless amount of ways that you can be creative with food. And so that's kind of like, I would say more of my outlet is like finding cool ways to, you know, photograph it. That's been really fun for me, and like how to talk about it to get people interested in eating it and things like that.
Well, and it always blows my mind. You were just recently here for a visit, and just, you know, we went to the farmer's market together. You, like, the way you just put things together, and it's just amazing to me, because it's like, how did she just do that? I mean, I've been cooking for a long time too, but it never seems to be quite the way that you are able to pull it all together.
Well, I think it's important to think about food in a sense of that there are no rules. So I think a lot of people think like, oh, you can't put that with that, or I don't know how to make an eggplant, like that's so scary to me, or whatever, you know. And I think it's just one of the things you see some, you know, like you specifically, you see something at the farmer's market that looks really pretty, or it looks really fresh, or you've never seen it before. Like, I challenge anyone listening to this to buy that thing, the there's this thing called Google, and you can just Google a recipe or an idea, and you can make something with it. And even if you like make something that makes zero sense to you, or people around you are like talking bad or whatever, just go for it. And like, you'd be super surprised of what you'll learn about yourself, what you'll learn about the food that you're trying to make. And like, you'll also learn so much more on how to make it better the next time you make it.
Cool. You know, that just triggered for me. When I was a little girl, you know, my mom worked full time, and we would try to make stuff, but we had these recipe books that we had to follow it, right? You always had to follow the recipe book. And then we wouldn't have, it's funny, we were calling this the essential ingredients. We wouldn't have certain ingredients, and then we would stop. We would have to stop everything we were doing because we didn't have the ingredient and we couldn't make it. And I really found that frustrating. It took me many years to get over that, I think.
Really?
Yeah, literally. And so it's interesting. And how do you feel about that? Because I know you don't use measuring cups. You just kind of, you're always to me, why are you using a measuring cup?
And not even when I'm baking. It's bad. Any like professional bakers would be like, what are you doing? You know, but I feel like recipes are guidelines, and there's specifically guidelines if you need inspiration. They're guidelines if you like, you know, have a super heavy salt hand or you don't understand yet how to build flavor. They're super good for that. But, you know, a recipe is just there to provide inspiration. That's it. It's not like a set of rule book. It doesn't have to be this way or the highway or whatever. Like, it's just there to kind of fuel your brain and fuel whatever's in your cabinet. Like, there's so many substitutions for different things. Like, if you don't have a certain herb, like, use a different herb that you might have. If you don't have a certain vegetable, use something else, you know? Like, if you don't have, I don't know, sour cream, use Greek yogurt. Like, there's all sorts of different things that I've, you know, talked to you about that, like,
right.
A, that make recipes healthier.
Right.
And
or there's B, that, like, right.
You don't have to be this, like, strict regimen. Like, cooking was never meant to be this, like, whipped thing where you're like, you gotta do it this way, you know? It's supposed to be this, like, cool, easy, flowing thing that you put positive energy into the food that then goes back into your body. It's like this really nice like circle of life that doesn't have to be so like strict.
Chop, 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 chop. Yeah. I feel that way about writing. I feel like, you know, when you let it flow, I think anything, any creative process, right?
Right.
If you're letting it flow instead of just being so regimented.
Cooking as a creative process, and even if you don't think of yourself as a creative or whatever, like, not to think of it as something to just mark off your to-do list. Because the second you look at food as something on your to-do list is, you know, you're never, ever going to be happy eating or cooking or shopping or anything. It's always just going to be a chore. So the second you just come to the terms that you have to eat to survive and you have to do it
and three times a day.
And you just learn to, like, heal your relationship with, if you have a bad relationship with it or if you have some sort of weird trauma around food, to, like, learn to heal that so that you can then start having fun with it. Because, like, you always have to eat, you know? Like, I know Travis, my brother, he looks at food as just, like, a to-do list thing. So, like, food is, like, an annoyance. And so it's always about, like, learning how to not be annoyed by eating, you know? I mean, it's my personal favorite thing to do, I think. So, like, I'm one of the lucky ones. But, you know, I think that anybody can feel their relationship with food and, like, learn to see it as this, like, fun, awesome thing that you get to do. And, like, taste and smell and, like, you know, all your senses can get involved. And, like, I don't know. I think that's kind of where you can start with healing that relationship.
And what's amazing to me is even from the shopping process to, because many times when you head into the store, if you're cooking for a client or whatever, you don't necessarily know what you're going to cook until you walk into the store and see something that inspires you. Is that correct? Or...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times when I cook for clients, I'll send a menu. Sometimes I'll change it, like, depending on, like, what looks the best, what's freshest, what they've got, like, seafood especially, like, things like that, you know, produce. Like, if they don't have something, I'll, you know, tweak it or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, some people just don't like to grocery shop, and that's fine, and there's an app for that. You know what I mean? Like, you can have
there's
no
an app for that.
For you, but, like, you know, you're going to have to eat, and at some point you're going to have to cook. So, I mean, unless, you know, you're like the Queen of England or something. But.
Well, and what would you say, you know, because for many of us, at the end of a long work day, the thought of having to now prepare a meal, and that's another hour, and if you don't have the quote-unquote ingredients, then it's like, ugh, what am I going to do? And then that's when too often we pick up the phone and order the infamous pizza or Chinese
it's
food.
It's all about prepping ahead and like preparing. It's preparing ahead of time mentally and physically. So, you know, being able to be like, okay, what does my week look like? Like, am I going to work late 3 nights this week? What is my food going to look like? Because the reality is that you're not going to be able to work your best or exercise your best or meet your health goals or have positive relationships if you're not putting good things into your body on a regular basis, because your blood sugar is going to be all over the place. You're going to be, you know, hangry. You're going to, you know, be too full from eating a burger for lunch because you didn't plan it out or whatever, you know, like
right.
Everything kind of has like a consequence, especially when it comes to food. So if every single Saturday or Sunday you can sit, and especially now that it's summertime and there's farmers markets, and you can say, okay, like, what does my week look like? It's Saturday, it's a farmers market. How can I like prep ahead some, like just even cut up some veggies and buy some hummus so I have an easy snack, or like, you know, make some protein muffins, or just quickly make some overnight oats, which are just like oats and almond milk and, you know, or whatever milk you want, and like some honey. Like, there's super easy ways to prep meals for yourself, or you could cut up vegetables and season some meat so that when you get home, all you have to do is put it on the grill, you know, like, mm-hmm. And every single meal doesn't have to take a whole hour either. You know what I mean? And it's kind of getting out of that mindset
just
where
it's like
this huge, daunting task.
Right.
Like, it doesn't have to be. You could throw together a salad, throw some chicken on the grill. While the chicken's grilling, you just throw some stuff in a bowl and like, boom, you've got a really awesome meal. You know, it doesn't have to be this like Thanksgiving dinner.
Right, which isn't really good for you. So it seems that it's all the rage these days that they're doing these prepackaged meals, you know, there's millions of names to talk about, where they put together ingredients, they ship it to your house, and
right.
Then you could cook it. What is your feeling about that? And is that a good alternative for people who seem to be short on? Is it better than going out to eat? Or
definitely.
Okay.
I've used it with some clients, and you know, I've introduced some friends to it and stuff. Like, I think that those services are really good if you can find the right one. It's really important to find one that uses, you know, organic ingredients, so you know at least it's coming from a somewhat good source.
Right.
It's important to use one that doesn't overuse packaging, because there's a lot of problems with those services that there's like so much plastic and packaging that's involved, which kind of like is one of the biggest cons to using one of those services. But there's a lot more pros than there are cons, you know, like,
you know,
I
actually used a grocery, I won't mention any names, but there's a grocery store that you can go online and they deliver, and it was all great and wonderful, but it was the packaging that, like you say, that totally turned me off. I'm like, wow, all this for, you know, a week's worth of meals. If I did this every week, it would just be
right.
Insane.
Well,
yeah.
I think what it can do is it can be like a nice, like, entryway into creating your own meals, and where it can give you really good ideas. It's a really good way to learn how to cook, because, you know, they'll give you your recipe. So most of them have an app. So you go on the app at the beginning of each week and you decide, okay, I want to eat this week. And they'll ship it to your door. It'll get there on Monday. So then all you have to do is cook it. So it's a really good way to be like, wow, I had no idea that you could use chicken in this way. Or I had no idea that I could eat a vegan meal and love it. You know, there's all sorts of different things that you wouldn't necessarily think about if you were just scrolling the internet looking for ingredients, because it kind of does it for you. So I think it's a really good entryway into being like, okay, I've made it. So I'm going to try to live this lifestyle of like making my own meals and eating organic food and being healthy. But like, where do I begin? And I think that, you know, those services are a really good place to begin.
Got it.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because you mentioned, you know, watching cooking shows as a child, and that's because I always turned on the cooking channel because that's what inspired me at the time. So you have a tattoo on your You have a couple. Right. So I was going to talk about your tattoo about Trust Your Struggle, the one that says Trust Your Struggle.
Yes.
And so why the tattoo, and where do you feel like you've progressed in your life, especially in the culinary part of your life?
And like, how does that tattoo, like,
yeah, how does it play into your life right now? I mean, you know, the name of the show is The Courage to Be the Difference, and a big part of courage is trust.
Right.
So
Okay, so that tattoo, Trust Your Struggle was graffitied outside my house when I lived in San Francisco when I was in culinary school. And that same day, I got it tattooed on my chest. So
resonated.
it was my first tattoo. I hadn't had any tattoos. It was like super sporadic and random that I got it. And at that time in culinary school, I really didn't honestly didn't think I was gonna finish. Like it was just super hard and like just I didn't like the chef that was teaching. He was like super sexist and just like, oh God, I couldn't stand him. This one specific chef that, you know, was teaching this 1 6-week course, and it just resonated with me because it was like I had been through so much in high school just to get to culinary school. Like I had been through so much turmoil and trauma. Just, you know, being a teenager was super hard for me, and like that, if I hadn't have struggled like that, I wouldn't have ultimately made the choice to leave everything behind and move to San Francisco knowing nobody. And I just, you know, and that struggle led me to, you know, San Francisco. And then like being in culinary school was its own struggle, which then led me to my first private chef client. And then, you know, like all these struggles end with something great happening. And like what I've realized over time is that like without struggling, you wouldn't A, appreciate the good things that happened to you, and B, like you wouldn't be gifted really good things without struggling and then learning from it and then moving on, you know, because we are human. It's just part of the human condition, and living in the 21st century and like all of these things we all have to juggle all the time, like we're gonna struggle. Like it's just part of it, you know? So I think personally, that's like why the tattoo means so much. I think with my career, like I've been through so much with my health, where I've struggled so much with a degenerative disc disorder, with endometriosis. I have struggled so hard just to be able to like have enough energy to like wake up in the morning, let alone like start a business and have enough confidence to like do all the things that I'm doing now. And like, you know, trusting in the fact that like if I was never sick and if I never went through those struggles, I would have never gone to nutrition school. I would have never even opened my eyes about like food and like, you know, the food industry and what's wrong with it and everything that's going on in our world. Because like I went to a French culinary school where like we eat all the meat, all the bacon, all the duck
The
fat, all the
fattier the
butter,
better, right?
you know, like there was one tiny little class that was talked about, you know, contemporary food, and she actually kind of changed my life. And it's actually funny, Mom, I was thinking about this yesterday actually, because my externship was at a juice cleansing company,
All
because
right, all right.
I just had no desire to go to a restaurant to do an externship. I didn't want to be, excuse my language, somebody's bitch for 6 weeks and just pop carrots all day and get yelled at. And so I went to a juice cleansing company, and everyone made fun of me. Like my teachers, my classmates, my family would just lectured me about like my lack of caring about, you know. And then years later, I write a book about juice and green smoothies, and like half the money I make now is based on teaching people how to drink juice. So it's just like, you know, it's just
Well,
noticing
it's
kind of.
beautiful because it's like everything comes on our path for a certain reason, right? And I have to say that I was very proud of you when you decided to really jump into the nutrition side of it after getting your culinary degree and really dig deeper into that. And now the work that you're doing to really change people's lives with food, as opposed to just feeding. I mean, there's one thing to feed people, but you're actually changing people's lives with food. And that's pretty darn awesome. Speaking of struggle again, I guess I couldn't really have this interview with you without, I mean, in the past week, you lost one of your culinary heroes, with the death of Anthony Bourdain. And I would just throw it out to you. Is there anything you'd like to say about that? Anything that you'd like to share?
Anthony Bourdain, he kind of like gave me the courage to, you know, even though you're an outcast, or if you don't think that you're, I don't know, there's a lot of outcasts, would you say? Like the outcasts become chefs, essentially, you know, like we are a weird bunch of people. Like every chef I've ever met has been super just weird and has their own little like weird quirks and has some sort of issue with addiction or has had an issue with addiction. has had an issue with mental illness. I mean, I know that I've struggled with like drug addiction, alcohol addiction, you know, and it's something, I mean, it's so sad that he decided to take his own life, but I just, you know, that was ultimately his choice. And, you know, we all are given a set of choices and like, that's what he chose. And he, to me, it's honestly not surprising. Like, he talked so much about his, you know, mental illness, talked so much about his addictions, and yeah, it's messed up. He has a daughter. Like, there's all these things that I could say, but like, that was his choice. And even though he made that choice, it doesn't make me respect him any less. It doesn't make me love him any less. Like, he is, will and always will be like one of my heroes, because he just said it like it is. He, you know, was super unapologetic, and he just lived his life, and he helped so many people just in the way that he was. And so, you know, right. It's so sad.
And he had such a love for food. I mean, you know, definitely a true foodie.
He ultimately gave me the courage and confidence to be able to go to culinary school. You know, reading his books, I was like, okay, I could do this. Like, if he could do this, being like a ex-meth addict, heroin addict, you know, like, I could do this. So, yeah.
Got it. Really cool. Anything else that you want to share with our audience as far as having the courage to step up when, you know, I mean, one of the things you did at 18 is that you headed off to San Francisco the summer after you graduated from high school, which was probably harder on me, maybe. I don't know. I thought it was. but like the courage, what would you say to someone who's looking at getting out there and doing something that they're afraid of? What do you think that it took from inside of you to really pull through and make this dream of yours, because you are living the dream right now, that's for sure, a reality?
I think you just have to face yourself, you know, like you have to fully face yourself and everything that you are when it comes to all of your flaws, all the good things about you, all of your fears. Like, you have to face yourself and you have to look at yourself for exactly what you are right now. And then you have to think about like where you want to be and where you want to go and like what you have to do to get there. And like, it's so easy. There's so many reasons of why to not do something, whether it comes from like who you've said you are in the past or what you've said you wanted to do in the past, or what you think other people are going to think about you, or what other people say about you,
right,
what negative self-talk you have to say to yourself. Like, all those things are contributing factors of why not to do something. But I think the ultimate factor of why to do something and why to just say F it and just do it is like, we only live once. Like, what are you waiting for? Just go do it. You know, like, I moved to San Francisco and I just basically closed my eyes and just went, because I was like, this is what I have to do, and I'm not going to think about this little bitch in my head who has to say all these things negatively about why this isn't going to work.
See, now, I would call it the inner critic, but you call it the bitch.
I like to refer to her as a bitch. She's my bitch, but she's a real bitch sometimes. But, like, you know, in moving to San Diego, I didn't really know what I was doing, but I just kind of was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to move. Like, whatever. And, like, of course, the reason why I moved here didn't work out, but all these other things did work out. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it's just facing yourself. You just have to face yourself. You have to face your mistakes. You have to face all of these things that we all run from. And I think we all run from these things in one form or another, whether it's not living out your dream, whether it's drinking, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's food. Like, I know a lot of people eat because they just can't face themselves. And then the more you eat, the more you eat crap, the more you just can't face yourself. And then you're living in this like haze, you know what I mean? And that is just the one thing, because for me, that's the hardest thing I've ever done, is just face myself and face my choices. And I've had to do it so many different times in my life, and I will have to continue to do it.
Right, yeah. Because I hear everywhere you go, there you are.
Here I am. I know. So.
Now, share with us what your shirt says.
It says, everything in moderation except avocado.
Ah, and yes. You do have a very special love for avocado, don't you?
I love avocados. They're just such healthy fats. They taste great with everything. They make everything taste good. They're so good. And, you know, they're easy to find, at least here in San Diego.
Yeah. Actually, they have been in Colorado, too. I don't know. There seems to be a plethora.
They're a hot commodity lately.
They really, really are. All right. And any other final words that you want to share? I know that I usually do a quote at the end, and I asked if you would share a quote here today, a culinary quote. So why don't you share that or anything else that you want to share?
I was going to share an Anthony Bourdain quote.
Okay.
But I kind of just want to say that when it, like, just on that whole thing of facing yourself, you know, like, I think that when people look at eating healthy, it's really, like, scary and overwhelming and daunting, and you don't know how to do it. And I think the first thing that you have to do in order to, like, live a healthier lifestyle and eat healthy is face yourself and be able to say, okay, why do I not want to do this? Like, what's stopping me? You know, the list goes on. And then I think once you face yourself, you give yourself that gift of awareness of being like, okay, I'm fully aware of what's going on and what I need in order to get to reach my goals or get to the place I want to be at mentally, physically, in my relationships, whatever. And then once you've given yourself the gift of awareness, you can then reach out and ask for help. You can reach out for resources. And I just want to say that, because that is just something I see with my clients, with my family members, with my friends, is that, you know, people are so afraid to face themselves and just face. It's like, why are you stuck in this pattern? Like, let's face that and let's move forward together. And so I think I just want to say that, and just, like, to be able to give yourself the gift of awareness is the first and biggest step that you can make into being healthy and, like, living a healthy lifestyle.
Fantastic. I love it. All right. So there we have it. This is another edition of The Courage to Be the Difference. Thank you, my dear. It's just been a pleasure. I love you so much. And I think you're one of my favorite guests so far. Yeah, for sure.
You're one of them.
Or just one.
Also, you can follow me on Instagram.
Yes. Yeah, and be sure. So, yeah, let me share that too. So it's Chef Bay, and that's Chef B-A-I dot...
Chef_BAI is, well, my Instagram.
Is your Instagram. Okay, so say it again. The Instagram is...
@Chef_BAI, @Chef Bay, and my website is www.chefbay.kitchen.
Fantastic. She has some amazing recipes and just very inspiring in so many ways, to be sure, and sharing her life there in beautiful San Diego. All right. So as we close out this issue of Courage to Be the Difference, if there's someone that you could share this with, be sure to do it. Someone who you might see struggling with food in a variety of ways, or finding that creative flow that Chef Bay talked about, please share this episode with them. And until next time, this is Sherry Ruskus wishing you the courage to be the difference.